Thank you for our musicians and vocalists that have helped lead us into this time. Now let us open our hearts to hear God's word. Be reading you today from the 10th chapter of the book of Romans and kind of picking it up in the middle of the train of thought here, but this is really the key. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We have only just begun our time together, but let me be so bold as to ask you a very personal question. How is it with your feet? I'm not asking whether you had a pedicure or not this week. I'm asking, have you had beautiful feet by bringing the good news of Jesus to someone that you've encountered? How is it with your feet? I was having coffee with some men from the church earlier this week, and Jerry Matula said something like this. He said, we are all given little glimpses of God at work so that we have a story to share. We're all given little glimpses of God at work so we have a story to share. And then he went on to share his story and how God was there for him in a time of real struggle. So again, how are your feet? And what is your story? I'm going to share my story with you today. Next week, we're going to look at where God might be taking this church into the future. But today, I want to look back into the past and just share the story of how I've experienced and encountered Jesus along the way. It's not the whole story. We don't have time for that. Just bits and pieces of it. So my story begins growing up in a family where both my mom and my dad were strong believers. So there was never a time that I didn't know about the love of God in Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you are that way. Any of you had the privilege of growing up in a Christian family? Number of hands. What a blessing. You have been blessed. Don't ever take that for granted, what a gift it is to know from an early age the love of Jesus Christ. See, there's never a time that I didn't know Jesus as a loving friend and as the good shepherd. And it wasn't just my parents, it's generations back. All of my grandparents also shared Jesus' love with me. My grandma Miller, who would be 125 if she were still with us, but she's not. My grandmother was the church pianist and organist at her little church in East Chain, Minnesota, down by Fairmont. And for year after year, she played and shared with me the joy of praising the Lord. And we were packing and moving and stuff, and I came across her old hymnal, her pianist edition of the hymnal, and half the pages have fallen out because it's so well used. From back in the 30s. And I don't know if it was from her or somewhere else, but God has given me a love for music. And I just enjoy every kind of music that praises the Lord. And yet, my grandmother gave me more than just music. She was a woman of few words. She didn't say much. But there were some words that she said over and over again to me. When I was a little boy, she would take me on her lap and she'd say, I love you little, I love you big, I love you like a little pig. And she would squeeze me tight. And I knew that if somebody loved me so much like that and loved Jesus so much, that certainly Jesus loved me as well. So I encountered from a very early age Jesus as my loving friend, my good shepherd. So as I began to grow older and got involved in the youth group at church, there's a time when I really made that my own, when I committed my life to Christ. And it happened most significantly in a mission trip. We'd gone down to McCurdy Mission in New Mexico. And I say we, it was not just the youth group, but it was also, my wife was a part of that youth group. And so Tammy and I were both there. And we had spent the week working at the mission, and then as kind of a reward, we were going to spend the last part of the trip backpacking in the National Forest. And we awoke one morning, and there was this dense fog filling the valley, except it wasn't fog. It was smoke from a forest fire. And it was coming from the direction of where our vans were parked and the only way of escape. So the only thing left to do was to flee in front of the flames. And we had about a 15-mile trip to the Rio Grande River, the closest source of water that anybody knew of. And so we began in the 100-degree temperature, fleeing across the desert scrub, and hoped that we could make it before the fire reached us. Halfway through the day, we were out of water. We were pretty desperate. And it was so, we were so overcome by fear and by this exhaustion that I can remember we walked right by rattlesnakes, and I hate snakes. And normally I would have been hitting the ceiling, but didn't even flinch, just walked by them. And God led us to a little spring of water coming up out of the ground of one of those dry riverbeds. And we were able to get refreshed and get enough strength to make it by nightfall to the edge of the Rio Grande. And we had the fire behind us and the river in front of us, and we didn't know what else to do. And we prayed. And fortunately, the Park Service had found our vans there that we had left. They knew we were in there. And so the Coast Guard sent people up the river with boats, and they rescued us from the shores. And as darkness fell, we could see the flames coming over the edge down there. And at that time, I knew the Lord not only as the loving friend, the good shepherd, but also as Savior and Lord. And I knew that I had to give my life to the Lord. And I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that I had been given a second chance and that my life was no longer my own, but it belonged to the Lord. So as I got older, then I went off to college, went to Hamlin, and I didn't go there to be a pastor. I went there to be a math major. My dad was a computer programmer, one of the very first, and so I expected to follow in my dad's footsteps. And at that time, I could code in three different languages, and don't ask me to do any of it now. I can't even operate my phone. You just ask my wife. But I thought that's where I'd be headed. My life would belong to the Lord, but I thought it would be as a computer coder or maybe a math teacher. But I took a lot of religion classes because I was so fascinated and I wanted to go deeper, I wanted to go closer, I wanted to learn more. And I had a professor who was a Jewish rabbi. And I can't remember if he was teaching Old Testament or something like that. But I was fascinated by what I was learning. And so I asked him, can I do my internship with you at your synagogue? I'm a Christian, but But would you be willing to do that? And he said, for you, I'd be willing to do that. But he said, but I think what you need to do is you need to find a church where you can do your internship at and just find out if God is calling you to be a pastor. Now, that's not what I wanted to hear. I'm actually rather introverted and wasn't at all excited about the idea of being a pastor. I like to tell people a Jewish rabbi called me into ministry. And, you know, it's not a bad way because the original call to ministry came from a Jewish rabbi named Jesus. So I went to the office that handled the internship things and said, my internship has fallen through. I don't know what I'm going to do. This semester is starting. I need to find it. Is there any church that I could work in? And they said, you know what? We just got a call from a church today. And I said, well, great. What do they want? They said, they want somebody to teach confirmation. So, perfect. Where is it? And they said, River Hills United Methodist Church. Now, some of you might recognize River Hills because Pastor Dwayne served at River Hills. And River Hills is my home church. And so, for a year, I taught 30-some young people to know Jesus. And I discovered that's what God had in store for my life. It wasn't the math stuff. It was the Jesus stuff. And so, at the end of that year, I graduated and I went off to Duke to go to Duke Divinity School, the seminary there, studied to be a pastor. And you probably hear stories about Duke now and then and my time there. From there, I was appointed to Chisholm and Buell up on the Iron Range. And following that, I was appointed to La Crescent and Dakota further down the river over by La Crosse. And it was at La Crescent where one of those things happened that further changed my faith life and my relationship with Jesus. You know, I had met Jesus as friend, Jesus as the good shepherd, met Jesus as Lord and Savior, met Jesus as my master and my rabbi. But you know, when things are going well and the world is your oyster, it's easy to say, yeah, I trust Jesus. I follow the Lord. It's easy to profess faith. But when you're put to the test, that's when things change. And you discover whether it's real or not. Now that story goes back a little bit, so let me set it up. There's something that Methodists do called annual conference. It's where all the pastors and representatives from all the churches get together every year in the state of Minnesota. And one of the traditions that we have is that at the end of annual conference, all the pastors' names are put in a hat, and one name is drawn out, and they're the next year's conference preacher. Now, remember I said I was kind of an introvert? This was always a moment of dread. Now, the odds were in my favor because there's like 400 pastors, so it's very, you know, the odds of me getting drawn, but every time they would draw that, there'd be this little, my heart would be racing, oh, please don't draw me. But this one year, we're sitting there, they're getting ready to do the drawing, and for the first and only time in my life, God spoke to me in an audible voice. Just as plain as I'm speaking to you, I heard this. The Lord said, your name will be drawn, and this is what you will preach. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? 5 seconds later, my name was drawn. And what normally would have caused a heart attack, I was at complete peace. Because not only did I know that I was going to be drawn, but the Lord had already handed me the message. And if you don't recognize it, it comes from John chapter 11, where Lazarus is dead and in the tomb, and Martha and Mary are grieving, and Jesus is talking to Martha. And Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Though you die, yet shall you live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So I had that all. And throughout the year, I'm thinking about different illustrations. How do I share this? And then in the spring, my oldest son, Luke, was playing in the backyard with the neighbor boy, and they were having a home run hitting contest. So they had a whole bucket of balls, and they're hitting home runs. And Luke's littlest brother, Lee, was only a couple years old. And he saw all these balls bouncing around and things like that. And Lee ran up to grab a ball just as the neighbor boy swung for the fences. And the bat hit him in the side of the head and crushed his skull in. Now, it's one thing when everything is going well and to say, Jesus is Lord. To say, I trust in the Lord. He is my dear friend. He is my Savior. He is my rabbi. It's easy to say that when things are going well, but when you're carrying your little child and they're saying he's got to have surgery and we'll need to put some metal plates in there and hopefully everything's going to be all right. Now, everything is all right. Lee is actually in seminary at Duke, and he's a student pastor. He's preaching right now at Rehoboth United Methodist Church out in rural North Carolina. But I didn't know that at the time. And I believe that even if he didn't make it, Jesus' promise is true, that even though we die, yet shall we live, because he is the resurrection and the life. So after that time in La Crescent, I was appointed to Coon Rapids, and I spent 13 years there. And in Coon Rapids, I was allowed to continue one of the ways that I really encounter the Lord, and that's by being in the Boundary Waters. So I would take about 30-some people to the Boundary Waters every year. I can't count the number of trips and the number of people that I've helped introduce to the Boundary Waters. In fact, Lee and his older brother, Luke, both became Boundary Waters guides and worked for the Methodist Church as a guide in the Boundary Waters while they were in college. There's just something about experiencing God in creation, because that's another way that I encountered the Lord, and that's the Lord of creation. I remember one night we were in the Boundary Waters, and there was a meteor shower, and the shooting stars were just raining down. But then if you looked in the other direction, the northern lights were dancing in the sky. And if you looked in yet a different direction, there was a full moon that looked so big that you could touch it. Just laid there looking up in awe and saying, God, thank you. Thank you for being able to experience this. Thank you for this beautiful creation that you've given us. Well, after that, I was appointed to be district superintendent, and that's what I've done for the last 6 years, and shared a little bit about that last week if you were here. I had the North Star District, which is about half the state, from the North Shore to North Dakota, and down halfway to the South Dakota border. Oh, look at this. Even a map there, about 400 miles between my two furthest churches. So I spent a lot of time in God's creation looking at it through a windshield. But what I didn't have much time to do as a district superintendent is to hear people's stories. That nobody calls you up as a district superintendent and says, you know, Mark, I just wanted to share with you what God has done this week. They usually say, hey, we got a problem. Can you get here? It's just the way it is. It's a great privilege to be a district superintendent. But what I miss are the stories. Because as Jerry says, all of us are given glimpses of God at work so that we have stories to share. So I hope that you will share your stories with me. I look forward to that. I crave that. And I know that as Minnesotans, you think, well, but if I did that, that's like bragging. No, you're not bragging about you. You're bragging about the Lord And if there's anybody you can brag about, it's the Lord. So I hope you'll share your story with me. And you may, you know, I've encountered Jesus as my loving friend, as my Lord, my Savior, as the trustworthy one, my hope. But maybe there's some other ways in which you've encountered Jesus, some other words that when you think of the Lord and what you've experienced, these words come out to you. And maybe he's your peace. Maybe he is your fortress. Maybe Jesus is your rest. What word? What words reflect your experience? Share them with me. But don't just share them with me. I'm not that greedy. Share them with someone else. I hope that you'll find someone else that you can share them with. Because, as Jerry says, we've all been given those glimpses of God so that we have stories to share. Or as the scripture says, so we can have beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, the good news of Jesus. So let us pray, and let's pray that God gives us opportunities to do that. Lord, we pray that somewhere this week that there will be at least one person that we can share our stories of you with. Whether that be a grandchild or a grandma, whether that be people in the youth group or people at work, whether neighbors or family, somewhere, Lord, give us an opening to share you. And Lord, if there's anybody here who hasn't experienced you in any way and is looking for that in their lives, Lord, I pray that you would show up in their lives. Use an audible voice if that's what it takes, or use the voice of silence of a Boundary Waters night, or the voice of a grandma. Use great miracles of healings or the wise words of a teacher, but Lord, touch that heart right now, that all may know you, that all may share you, and all may have beautiful feet. In your name we pray. Amen.